Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
But I'm still not happy. I always end up feeling depressed.
Probably my biggest fear is like the social status and like, I don't know.
It hurts so much. Every day, it's like this giant hole, and it's not getting better.
I'm Jim Burns. Well, the numbers are alarming. One in four teenagers today is showing signs of some mental disorder, with the number one disorder by far being depression. What used to be an adult-only problem is now becoming a major problem in kids as early as 13 or 14 years of age, and sometimes even earlier than that. Well, if you're a parent of a hurting child, then chances are you're hurting deeply as well. My hope is that today you'll find help. Dr. Arch Hart, Dr. Catherine Hart Weber are back again today on Homeward to offer help and hope for parents dealing with hurting kids, so stay tuned.
From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, graduating difference maker since 1899, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. You don't think there's any stress or depression on a college campus, do you? He says that somewhat tongue-in-cheek. It's everywhere, and it's not just college campuses. It's not just high school campuses. It's not just middle school campuses. It's not just public school campuses. When you get right down to it, kids everywhere are being bombarded with media images and unrealistic expectations. And it's taking its toll on them in the form of stress and depression, but not in the ways that we are typically thinking of in terms of the way we used to look at this in the past. Dr. Archibald Hart, Dr. Catherine Hart Weber are here for a conversation on what it means today to be parenting a hurting teen. Here's Jim.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today, a very special time. We're going to talk about parenting a hurting teen. It's part two of a great conversation with Dr. Arch Hart and Dr. Catherine Hart Weber. Dr. Arch Hart is the Senior Professor of Psychology and Dean Emeritus of Fuller Graduate School of Psychology. Has written so many books that have been influential within the Christian world. He and his wife, Kathleen, have three daughters, one of them with us today, and three grandchildren. Dr. Catherine Hart Weber is a teacher and a lecturer, an author, a licensed marriage and family counselor, and a mother of two teenage children. So it's great to have both of you with us.
Tell us about it. And expert in my own right.
You absolutely are. You know, I thought I was an expert on teen issues until I started having teens, and all of a sudden I was absolutely humbled by this. I don't know about you, Catherine, but when my kids first became teenagers, I thought, I know this stuff. It's going to be easy. About 13, I went, oh my goodness, what happened here? And I'm going to everybody I can ask, for help. Was it a humbling experience for you?
Oh, it very, very much so. Mm-hmm. And I think you realize too, even though you are quite a professional, an expert in anything, we are never prepared as parents for some of the things that come up, what it does and evokes in us. Right. And we have no way of knowing what challenges and bumps in the road our children will go through. And so this book is really meant to come alongside parents and be a helpful resource and say, hey, we're all in this together.
Right.
We're all going to face challenges at some point.
Yeah. So it really is a great come alongside book. The book is called Stressed or Depressed. It's a practical and inspirational guide for parents of hurting teens. I've been waiting for this book for a long time. I read it last week, actually, on a fishing trip with my support group. Here are men who are actually older who don't have teenagers. They all wanted to look at the book. And they went, oh my goodness, where was this book, you know, when my kids were growing up?
Well, Jim, you know, we started writing the book as detached professionals.
Yeah, right.
And too long into our writing process, it became a very personal journey for us.
How interesting that so often happens. We hear about depression. We hear about stress. How bad is it in the adolescent community today?
Jim, it is alarmingly so. If you go back 30 years, the average age at which a person developed clinical depression was about 30, 31 years of age. Today, it's down to 13, 14. So we have a dramatic drop in the age. The second thing is that the evidence is pretty clear. About one in four teenagers are showing signs of some mental disorder, and mostly depression. And the statistic I live with these days is about 1 in 4 to 1 in 5 teenagers will experience clinical depression.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
Now, Arch, when you say that, does depression look differently in a teen than it would in an adult?
Yes. Depression looks different in women compared to men, and we've written books on that differentiation, and in teens. Now, teen depression looks a lot more like male depression than it does female depression. Mm. Female depression, women feel their depression. Men act it out. Men act it out. Or they mask it, as the title of that book of mine. They mask their depression. They just bury themselves in their work further. But mostly in males, it's the anger. It's the aggression that comes out. And in teens, a lot of it just manifests itself in the form of some sort of anger.
You know, a lot of times teens pretty much will ignore issues. And they'll kind of have some unresolved stress that oftentimes will lead to depression. How do you help your child who may be dealing with this unresolved stress that's kind of leading to depression? What do you do?
And this is all along understanding about stress and the damage that stress does to us. And a big part of that is that teenagers don't have the skills and the resources yet to recover from the damage of stress, to express what they're feeling, their internal frustration. So they land up acting it out, being irritable, being being mouthy and being defiant. And then if they don't have the skills to deal with that stress, they will find a way. And unfortunately, there's a culture, the adolescent culture, they have some unhealthy ways of dealing with this rising stress inside of them that they don't know really how to deal with.
Well, you're so right. And in your book, you have a great section called More Than Depression, Deadly Teen Issues. What are some of these issues that you talk about, and how common does depression move these kids to a point of some of these deadly issues, cutting the self-abuse issues that really we didn't talk about even just 10 years ago?
Right. It's all about finding a way to manage their frustration, their stress, and manage their pain. So if they don't have a place to talk about it, if they aren't recovering from the damage done by the excess cortisol in the body, if they don't have a way to express and sort out their pain and their emotions, they will turn to things such as cutting.
Now let's talk about cutting. It's fascinating because parents today of teens are beginning to hear about it. It's been happening for a while to a greater extent now. But it's one of the biggest questions that come to our website. It's one of the biggest questions that people are asking. You know, my child is cutting. I have no idea what's going on. Walk through that with us. What is the issue?
Lay the foundation on Catherine. The primary reason for cutting is that teens feel numb. They don't feel anything.
Right.
But pain, and I remember a conversation with my granddaughter, one of Catherine's daughters, asking her about teens, and that is, why would they do it? And it's, I'd rather feel something. So if I can feel pain, I feel like I'm a little normal. And it's this anhedonia phenomenon again, this inability to get pleasure out of ordinary things of life, that is one of the primary reasons why they turn to cutting. Hmm.
What's really disturbing is that, how do they find out about this? who tells them? And how do they discover it? But it's a part of their culture. They recommend it to each other even. Right. I have a daughter at junior high, and she was telling me of some boys that were cutting. And they found out about it because the other boy suggested, if you feel frustrated and angry, cut yourself. When you bleed, it makes you feel better. Right. And so they're telling each other, and they're finding out about it as an option, an alternative. And we need to provide them constructive, helpful ways for recovery from stress and for dealing with the pain.
You're right. Pain. And part of that gets into your book when you're talking about safe parenting. I want to talk about that again in a moment. We talked about it in the last program. But I want to also mention another one, because this seems to be coming out more and more, and definitely at Homeward, people are writing us and calling us on this, is that their kids have been sexually abused. You know, the statistics are saying 1 out of 3 young women, possibly by the time they're 19, 1 out of 5 to 1 out of 7 young men. When a person has been abused, whether it be sexual or physical, incredible amounts of depression take place. What do you do as a parent?
Well, often the first signs of some emotional pain is some of these other things we're talking about, using substances, smoking cigarettes, experimenting with marijuana, because that's the way they will turn to if they're not able to talk about it, and it's very painful. And so those, sometimes parents need to be aware, if they see some of these things, that could be the signal that they are trying to deal with the emotional pain and the overload that they're feeling with the stress inside of them. And so to explore then and not think, let's just focus on this bad behavior. Right. There could be something underneath this that they aren't comfortable talking about. And I think that instead of pushing a teenager to make them tell you everything, realize that maybe it is uncomfortable and it's not something they're willing to talk about. If it's a girl, take the girl for a physical evaluation. If she's old enough, take her to a gynecologist and encourage her to tell the gynecologist everything, that this is a safe place and that, you want to make sure that she feels that she's getting the care that she needs. And take them to a place where they can talk. Youth pastors are very, very helpful. Maybe talk to the youth pastor, say, I think something's going on. Maybe they can initiate a conversation. But at some point, the teenager has to have a safe place to be able to talk about this and to get underneath what their pain and their frustration is so they can get the help to work through it.
So very important. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. When we come back, I want to talk about when a kid is depressed. Do we do medication? Do we not do medication? How do we get the counseling kind of help? Some real practical issues. If you think your child may be depressed, do not turn that dial, because we're going to have some great conversation in just a moment. With Dr. Arch Hart, Dr. Catherine Hart Weber, we're talking about the issue of parenting a hurting teen.
And one of the things I know that Jim would recommend here at this point, Roger Marsh is kind of cutting everybody off here for a second, back in the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University. Jim stresses the intentionality of getting to the root of the problem. We can try to deal with the symptoms, you know, why is my son acting out? Why is my daughter so moody? But those are just symptoms that they kind of come to the surface. Got to get to the real heart of the matter. And the heart of the matter is stress and depression are really taking a toll on young people. Jim's written a book called Teenology, The Art of Raising Great Teenagers, and the stressing that the art of factor here in teenology. It's not a science. It's not an exact science. There aren't formulas. There is an art to raising great teenagers in terms of being intentional with them, spending time with them, and understanding that not every kid is going to have the same aha moments at the same time. But you got to hang in there with kids. You can order Teenology from Dr. Jim Burns through our Homeward Online Resource Center. And when you do, a portion of the proceeds goes to supporting our ministry, tax deductible to you, at homeward.com.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
But I thought the counseling was helping.
Well, I thought it was, but Lacey doesn't like it, so she's not going anymore.
But Lee, she's 15 years old.
I know.
You're her mother.
I know.
If you have to physically drag her back to that counselor's office, I think you should do it.
A child in trouble needs the love of his parents more than ever, and that love must be tough. The kind that says, you've got to stick with your counseling program even when you don't feel like going, if that's what it takes. During a time of crisis, it's important to remember that you're not just raising a good kid here. You're raising a kid to become a responsible adult. Now, don't neglect your own needs during this time as well. Make sure you're receiving loving, level-headed advice from trusted friends who can speak truth into your life as well, even when it hurts. Well, for a free copy of my tip sheet called 10 Things You Should Do When Your Teen's in Trouble, go to homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns. Welcome back to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today's a great day for us. It's a helpful day. It's the reason we are doing the Homeward broadcast, because we want to be able to help you. And today we're talking about parenting a hurting teen with Dr. Arch Hart and Dr. Catherine Hart Weber. We're dealing with the issue of depression and stress. And if you've been listening, then I'm sure that you are very much involved in the issue of wanting the best for your kids. And yet sometimes our kids do become depressed, as Dr. Hart was talking about earlier, in terms of the amazing amount of statistics that say that more and more kids are depressed. Dr. Hart, when kids are depressed, and we know they're depressed, and perhaps it's time for us to get them to a counselor, sometimes counselors will say, well, I think your child needs to be medicated, and that's the M word. Medicated. Medication is a tough word. It's confusing. We hear that, don't put your kids on medication. No, you do need to put your kids on medication. I think you have a good take on it. Help us understand that.
It is confusing. And part of the reason for that is that because of the suicide risk in depression, the drug companies are running scared. The FDA is running scared. And so rather be safe than sorry. And I put out the black box warning to make sure that everybody is alert. But the reality is this, Jim, that if you leave your teenager without the proper sort of treatment. And it's not just medication. We'll finesse that. But if you leave your teenager without the appropriate treatment, the chances of that depression becoming permanently embedded is very high. The brain is plastic and remains plastic for a long time. And so if you are depressed and it's left like that, a kindling effect. The brain finds it easier to become depressed. It adapts to that depression. So the general rule is that you must treat the depression as quickly as you possibly can. Now, in our evangelical subculture, we have an anti-drug mindset, which is right. I'm all for that. But the difference, however, between antidepressants and, say, tranquilizers or other drugs is enormous. We shouldn't even say them in the same breath. Antidepressants are really wonderfully crafted, not to do any mind altering, but to send a message to the brain to change or reverse the effects. And so antidepressants are actually protective in many ways. It's better to medicate, even if it may not have been necessary, than not to. So I make a strong plea to parents to not hold back here at all. Find some professional that you can trust and put on the medication. Let me just add quickly, the medication by itself is not the only solution, because stress is, in my opinion, and most now will agree with me, stress is the primary cause of teenage depression. You have to deal with the stress factor, and that's where good counseling comes in. And the most successful treatment outcome is when you have the medication with good counseling. Right. And in fact, I think it's irresponsible not to give counseling and only to medicate.
Right. Well, that's very good. But a lot of times, kids don't want to go in to a counselor, and the parents are resistant because they're getting resistance from the kids. Mm. So how do you help a child see that this is something positive, not something terrible, not something showing weakness?
Sometimes it just takes time. Mm-hmm. They might go kicking and screaming, but that's why it's important to find a counselor who is trained and able to work with teenagers. Someone that they feel comfortable with, they can bond with. That's a safe place. Because if they go to a place where they can develop a relationship, and counseling really is about building a relationship with somebody that you can talk to, that listens, that helps give clarity, helps you sort through, express. And for teenagers, a lot of that is about them discovering what they feel, being able to put words to it, being able to make sense of the confusing situations that have happened to them. A lot of children go through broken family situations, and they have to move, and they have a lot of loss. They have to grieve the losses in their lives. We were talking earlier about the high rate of girls being violated physically. That's a tremendous amount of loss, a tremendous amount of things to process at a young age. So just, helping them find a place and in a relationship that they feel safe with. If they don't like the first counselor, then maybe you need to go through two or three counselors until they feel, well, okay, there's somebody that I like.
Yeah. And really, in your book, you do such a good job of talking about safe parenting. Safe parenting isn't just an environment in the home. Safe parenting is saying, I'm gonna help my kids have a safe experience, whether it may be counseling, whether it may be talking to their youth pastor, whether it's a place of coming alongside them.
Right.
And all of a sudden, I'm waking up to this. Mm-hmm. It's much more than just creating it in the home, isn't it?
It takes a village to create it.
Absolutely. Somebody was right on that.
Christian community.
But parents need also to realize just what the risk is. You see, suicide is really a serious problem here, that you don't underestimate the power of depression. And sometimes parents are the ones who are the problem. Right. They don't want their kid to go to counseling because they are somewhat ashamed of that afraid the kid's going to share some secrets that they want to reveal. So many parents have to take responsibility for this.
And sometimes, too, when your adolescent comes back from counseling, there's some things that are challenged in yourself. And, they might not have very good boundaries. And the counselor might say, well, you need better boundaries. And that challenges a parent to think about how they are parenting. And so it is, and sometimes it's family counseling. Sometimes there's some things that the teenager has to work out with their parents in counseling. So it is something that the parent needs to be really committed to and feeling that this is a priority to be able to talk about it, to get them help, because if an adolescent keeps this hidden, finds maladaptive, unhealthy ways to deal with their pain and their stress, then that will continue on to more serious problems. The key is to get help as soon as possible, to get them to get the skills and the resources and the help they need.
And that's absolutely right, and it's healthy parenting in many ways. Now, a moment ago, you talked about suicide, and of course, you know, it's the third largest killer among adolescents today. Are all kids who attempt suicide or commit suicide, are they all depressed?
Mostly. I mean, why would you commit suicide if you're not depressed? Now, there are ideological reasons why one would commit suicide, and we see that in the suicide bombings and so on. But mostly, it's the depression. But the warning that is out to parents, and rightly so, that you have to increase the watch on your child when you start the antidepressant. It's not the antidepressant, Jim, that causes
a
suicide.
Because a lot of people are saying, well, if I put my kid on Prozac, then I'm afraid they're going to freak out and kill themselves.
It's a myth, really, that that increases the risk, that the Prozac is the cause of the suicide. That's a myth. It's the depression that causes suicide, not the medication. However, when you start a child on an antidepressant, remember it's going to take 6 or 8 weeks before it takes effect. Can you imagine how demoralizing it is when you take it every day, week after week after week, and you're not getting better? And then clinically, what happens is that the energy always improves before the mood. So the most dangerous moment is just before the medication kicks in. And that combination. So it is critical that professionals understand that the medication has to be managed. Teenagers need to be educated, and you put a suicide watch. But not to medicate is to leave your teenager at risk for committing a suicide.
Well, that is an amazing, amazing thing. I've only got a few moments, but I want to talk about the spiritual side to depression.
Ecclesiastes tells us that it's a time to be sad. And depression is the consequence we pay for certain things in life. The only time you're free of depression, or would not have it if you resigned from this planet, go find another one where there's no stress. No, we are all stressed as well. That's unavoidable, and we must just accept we have to struggle with depression just as much as anyone else.
And yet there's a spiritual component that can help us greatly, Catherine.
Oh, absolutely. Quite frankly, it's backed up with a lot of research. We don't have to speculate anymore. But when we're going through hard times, we can get very discouraged. And we can feel a lot of despair. We can feel hopeless. And parents can feel that way too when they're walking alongside their adolescents. But our Christian faith gives us incredible resources to wrap our minds around some positive thinking, some promises. God has promised, fear not, I'm with you. Do not be anxious for everything and anything, but pray, give it to me, and remember to be thankful for the things that are in your life. We have a tremendous resource to undergird us, to give us the hope and the promise of getting through hard times. We have the Christian community. We have people that can pray for us, that we can share and talk with, and we can go and laugh with and can be a support. And all of those things have actually scientifically proven to be very, very important in getting through these times. And our faith, our Christian faith, gives us a tremendous resource to be able to utilize.
I agree with you. Thank you so much for your input. Arch, Catherine, thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Jim.
And that concludes part two of the two-part conversation featuring Dr. Jim Burns and Dr. Archibald Hart and Dr. Catherine Hart Weber talking about parenting a hurting teen, dealing with their stress, dealing with their depression. Arch and Catherine have written a book called Stressed or Depressed, and we have it up on our website today, the brand new and improved homeward.com. Also, Jim's book, Teenology, is one you will definitely want to read because Teenology talks about the art of raising great teenagers, dealing with the stress issues and the stressors and also the things that can make them depressed as well. You can order Teenology and support the Ministry of Homeward at the same time when you go to homeward.com.
Well, what a great program today, Roger. I'm confident that many of our listeners needed to hear exactly what we were talking about on today's program. You know, Jesus reminded us in John 16:33 that in this world you will have trouble. But I love what it says next. It says, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Well, we have hope because we serve a God who has overcome every hard and troubling thing this world throws our way. And I don't want to by any means downplay the pain you're going through if you're struggling with a hurting teen. But what I do know is that there is hope when we place the problem in the hands of God. As you trust the Lord to help you with your hurting teen, well, there are many things that you can do as a parent to help your teen. And many of those are discussed at length in Dr. Archibald Hart and Dr. Catherine Hart Weber's book, Stressed or Depressed.
And that's one of the reasons why we have it up today at Homeward.com, and also one of the reasons why we were stressing Dr. Jim Burns' book, Teenology, The Art of Raising Great Teenagers, because it is an art form, as I mentioned throughout this program here. When you think about the kids who are in middle school right now and they're stressed out about what they're going to do in high school, or they're kind of depressed because they didn't get to write college, you know, I mean, there's a lot of different things that are get over-exaggerated during the teen years, and it's something that we as parents can come alongside with our kids and help them deal with the stress, deal with the depression. Jim's book is one that we recommend, and when you purchase it directly from Homeward, a portion of the proceeds goes to supporting our ministry, tax deductible to you, beneficial to us. Now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.